Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride. With your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. We are here with a really fun episode, and this is how can we use technology to make different systems on our campus or different systems in our district work better for us. So how can an ed tech TOSA, how can a technology specialist like yourself help your nurse, help your administrative assistants, help in your website? How can we take all the tools we know and love in the classroom and help our community of educators across campus and the district? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we do, and before we introduce ourselves, I want to say congratulations to Kyle for his 100th episode of the Beer EDU podcast. So if you haven't gone over and listened to that episode, go and listen. And I do have to say this, Kyle, for that episode, I was going to celebrate with you with a Fuller Vintage Ale. Now, you see, there's a limited number of these. I bought this back in 2008. So when I first became a teacher, I bought two of these to celebrate 10 years of teaching. And the 10th year that I was teaching in 2018, I actually moved to another position. So I'm like, well, I said I was going to celebrate this for my, 10 year of teaching. But then I said, let's celebrate something else. And so I wanted to celebrate your 100th episode, but it was recorded on a Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and I could not convince myself to drink this vintage at that time. But today is a special day as well for myself, because today in the Fit EDU community, I have hit my 400th day in a row of doing 8,000 steps or more since March 18th of 2020. So I thought, why not celebrate your 100th episode today and my 400th day of working out by drinking this while we record today? So cheers to you, my friend, and congratulations on 100 episodes.
Well, now, first of all, go ahead. Thank you very much. I appreciate that to no end. So yeah, 100 episodes is kind of a big deal. And we've talked about, Ben and I, if one person listened, great. We never knew if we'd ever hit 100 episodes. And, we're still going strong. And we've got a lot of people in our queue on that one. So you can expect episodes of the Beer EDU podcast for a while to come, at least. So, and with that, being you bought two of them and you cracked one today, you need to save the other one for the next time that you and I are together in person, because I'm kind of interested as to how that beer aged over the course of 13 years. So that's a great style for aging, that old ale style. So I'm really excited to hear what you think about it and then eventually try one with you when you have that other one. So, but that being said, why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves? So, Joe, I'm going to let you go first, because that's kind of your thing. You go first usually.
Yeah. So, everybody, I'm Joe Marquez. I'm an educator out of the Central Valley of California. Currently, I'm the Director of Academic Innovation for Q, and as always, an innovative lifelong learner. And Kyle, what about yourself?
My name is Kyle Anderson, and I am a special education teacher in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you can find me on Twitter at Anderson Ed Tech and Instagram, same thing, Anderson Ed Tech. And then I write a blog, AndersonEdTech.net. I've been kind of neglecting that blog so far in 2021. Just the writer's block has set in from the way things have been over the last, 15 months or so. But I do get some ideas brewing about some writing again. And speaking of writing, I do have a book that I wrote called To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and then also through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. And you mentioned a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm really excited to talk about this because it really got my mind turning about some systems and things that have kind of always been done a certain way, usually without tech, and now just kind of trying to figure out what we can do with technology to make those systems a little bit easier to run. So I'm excited to talk about this one today, Joe.
Yeah, when you mentioned this topic, I was really excited as well. because I remember the moment I found out the extensiveness of Google Forms and how Google Forms can connect with Google Sheets. And then, you know, the term "the magic happens in the sheets" is true when we're talking about Google Forms, because there's so many different formulas and add-ons that can be done in there to really create systematic change on your campus, some automated changes. And one of the things that I did when I found this out was I went and I told my administrators, I'm like, look, I am the lunch detention proctor. That's what I did. I go, here's the problem. Kids would come in with a pink slip and say, I have lunch detention. Or kids would come in without a pink slip and say, I have lunch detention. Or teachers would forget to give a pink slip. You know those pink slips, right? They would write it on the carbon copy and somebody gets the white, somebody gets the pink, somebody gets the yellow. It was a mess. And students were slipping through the cracks, not only not going to detention, but also not knowing how many times those students were going to detention. And so I said, why can't we create a paperless detention system or discipline system on our campus where instead of the teacher filling out this, you know, carbon copied piece of paper and then doing march of the papers around campus, they can fill out a Google form. And whoever's proctoring that lunch detention sees exactly who's supposed to be there, who gave it to them, and why. And then all the lunch detention person has to do is put there's a column I created called "Did they attend?" They put a Y if they attended and an N if they did not. And guess what would happen? Every day at 1 o'clock, emails would be sent out automatically. Teachers saying your student did attend, and then teachers, your student did not attend. It created just this amazing network on campus of identifying who is where, but also it identified, hey, this student's been at detention 5 times. Let's bring him in, or let's bring her in and let's talk. Is something going on at home? Is there a reason you keep getting assigned detention? Is it one teacher assigning all the detentions? Does that mean you're butting heads with that one teacher? Getting to the root of the problem through data. And that was a real big aha moment for me on how these education tools that I do in the classroom can really change the way we approach systems on our campus. What about you, Kyle? You had a great story about how you're utilizing systems in your campus with technology that we normally use in the classroom.
Well, before I get to that, I just want to make a couple quick comments regarding the Google Forms. I mean, there's so many different ways that these can be used for tracking data or communication, even, or even creating like proof that somebody did something. So there's all these different add-ons that you can add into Google Forms and then with Google Sheets, things like Formule and Autocrat that can do all this work for you automatically. You don't have to do anything. You just have to spend the time to set things up and then do it, much like you said with the email system over the detentions, where the teachers would get the email, this student attended, this student did not attend. So great thing that we're doing right now with GEG Nevada, Google Educator Group Nevada, is that if you attend our monthly meeting, you may be working in a district that you need to provide some sort of proof that you attended professional development. And for our GEG Nevada meetings, those are an hour. We go over all sorts of different Google tools and whatnot. It is a professional development session. And if you go on and fill out our Google form after the meeting is over with, you're going to get an email back within seconds with a certificate saying that your name on this date attended for 1 hour the GEG Nevada monthly meeting. So now there's some proof that you attended this meeting. So now maybe some districts aren't going to accept those kinds of things, but you won't know until you try to submit it for hours. So the worst that they can say is no. So track those kinds of things if you're going to attend them and then get that certificate. So, but not only that with like Autocrat and Formule, but you can trigger emails to people for communication purposes. So if you've got a Google form on your class website where a parent can, rather than emailing you a standard email or calling you or whatever it may be, they can fill out this Google form. And then based on their responses on the form, it can trigger an email response to them. It could be as simple as, I appreciate the time you took to contact me. I'll be I'll get a hold of you within 24 hours, something like that, where rather than that parent emailing and waiting to hear the response and wondering if you got the email, that can trigger a response to them saying like, I got your information. Now I will get back to you to address your concerns. So a lot of great different tools with the Google Forms and Sheets when it comes to those.
No, I love that. I mean, and when I was in the classroom, I would have a form on my website as well. And it would ask, what are you contacting me for? And it gave a few different options and then an other. Those options were triggers. If they were talking about missing work from their student, it would be able to actually create an email that showed, and I would ask for the date. I would say, what date are you? Even though Google Forms automatically gives you a date, I'd still have a question, what date are you asking this question? Because I have a date range that would automatically go, what date are they selecting? These are the assignments at that point of the year. And it would shoot, these are all the assignments that your student should be working on. So they can actually see all of that. And it's all done through triggers, through automatic emails, through Formule. And it saves you a lot of time. And teachers would say to me all the time, how long did it take you to set this up? And I would say, I'm not going to lie, it took me about 8 hours. It took me about 8 hours to set this up. I go, but 8 hours for the rest of the year. Like the rest of the year, I mean, the communication with parents was nails. They loved the quick response. I mean, it was great. So yes, definitely take a look more. And I'm going to be talking more about Google Forms and different systems that can be created from them. But you definitely, if you haven't talked about Google Forms and Formule and Autocrat and all these different things, you have to dive deep or at least contact us to see how deep you can go. Because it's like, you know, how far down the rabbit hole can you go when you get into this stuff? Because there's a lot you can do.
Oh, for sure. So, but now circling the wagon back to what we were talking about a little bit before we started recording in regards to a system is that every school, every district at this point has a website. Now, the quality of that website varies from school to school and district to district, but every school or district has a website at this point. It's 2021. So if we were doing this conversation 15 years ago, might be questionable whether a school had a website, but I digress. So recently in the last few months, I've been working on a team at my school called the Vision Team. And essentially what this is we're evaluating different areas that we can improve upon in our school. Okay. It's things like school culture and communication and professional development and a lot of different things. And one of the things that came up over the conversation over the last few months was, do kids really know what classes they have to take, what options they have for a career pathway based on classes they take at our school, and can they get that information easily? Now, the short answer is no, not really, and no, not really, not at all. So if you can remember the questions that I just proposed on that. So the big thing is that on this committee, we call it the Pathways Committee that I'm working with now, we're taking a look at the student handbook and course catalog and the school website and trying to figure out how can we make this better and make it something that people can understand, especially the most important people, the students. Can a student go to our website and understand the courses that they need to take and have an idea that if they want to go into a certain career pathway, do they have that information? And right now that answer is no, our website does not have something like that. So when you click on that area of our website, you'll see course catalog. And when you open it, it's a PDF document that is, no lie, 144 pages long. And it is just text. There's no easy way to go through that. And it's a lot of technical jargon to describe courses based off of district approved verbiage and whatnot. And it is just not user-friendly. And when our principal brought this up to us, said, I want you to take a look at this document. You have 15 minutes to look through it. And not going to lie, I stopped looking after about 2 minutes because I'm like, I'm not going to get any more out of this. This is garbage, frankly. So when we come back together, a whole group, and just kind of talked about, we started to realize just how broken that part of the system was. And that if we as teachers can't understand this and gave up and didn't have any interest after like 2 minutes, what is a student or a parent going to do when they get to that part of the website? So we really started to analyze how can we make this better. So first things first, we wanted to come up with pathways where students could take a look at, if I want to go into a certain career field, what classes do I have to take? And we haven't nailed down all the different pathways yet, but just for example, maybe a student has no idea as an incoming freshman what they want to do. So here's a general studies type pathway. And these are the classes that are required for graduation. Here's your options for electives throughout that time. So here's that pathway. Another pathway is we have a magnet program at my school. So for magnet students, what are your requirements and what are your classes? What are your elective choices, et cetera, et cetera? Okay, same thing for CTE, same thing for a military pathway. So we've narrowed down a few of them, but we just haven't really gotten to the bulk of which ones need to go onto the website and how technical we want to get. Because if you think about it, you could really get technical where like, oh, you want to be a doctor? Here's your pathway. Oh, you want to be an engineer? Here's your pathway. So on and so forth. So when we start diving into this further, now we're like, okay, so here's this giant PDF document and we need to communicate that to teachers, to students, to families, so on and so forth. But how do we do that in a way that's not just this PDF that's 144 pages long? So we wanted to make sure it was something that was more visually appealing and something that maybe is a little bit more interactive at the same time. And a PDF just is not going to be that. So we started looking at how can we do that? And one of the ways that we settled on that was using Google Slides and the publish to the web feature. So Joe, I know you're very familiar with that. And you know, a lot of our listeners may be familiar with that, but if you're not familiar with it, you can take a Google Slides presentation and when you hit publish to the web, you can essentially set it up to where either it automatically cycles through the slides, or you can have a person click on them one at a time and move through the presentation without all the Google Slides stuff, without sharing the Google Slides presentation, getting that request for access email 900 times if it's on a busy website, whatever it may be. And the idea was, let's create these pathways and have a Google Slides presentation that's published to the web that's going to have links on there that when they click on, say, for example, the CTE pathway, it's going to take them to another page in that Google Slides presentation, because in Google Slides, you can link slides to one another. Kind of like if you put a link to sonsoftechnology.com in Google Slides, it would open up in a new tab and take you to that website. You can do that with slides within a Google Slides presentation. So on slide one, you've got a link to go to slide four you can have. So going back to my CTE pathway, on the slide one, if you click on CTE pathway or whatever we end up calling it, it takes you that slide with a little bit more information. And then the plan is, rather than having a slides presentation that ends up being 150 slides long on there, once you get to the pathway slide, it's going to give you some general info. Then if you're still interested and want to learn even more, you're going to click on another link and it's going to take you to a separate Google Slides presentation that's going to have everything in more detail. It's going to have videos of teachers from the CTE programs. It's going to have maybe student testimonial videos. It's going to have all the information on the classes that you're going to need to take during your time in high school, in the required classes, the CTE classes, whatever it may be. So just something that kind of like a choose your own adventure on the website versus just here's a link to the course catalog. Here's your 144 page PDF document. Good luck. If you got any questions, here's our contact information. So we're really hoping, I mean, it's in the infant stages of planning right now with everything, but we're really hoping that by the end of this school year, going into next year, that we can have this up and running, at least a skeleton of it, to where we can get information out to students and their families in a much more effective and interactive way than just the standard static PDF document.
No, I love that. I love that so much because, I mean, you're identifying an issue or a problem with the current status of what you're working with. And then you're identifying how can we use the tools that we use on a daily basis in the classroom to find a solution to that. I mean, I was in a conversation like this a while back when I was on a campus, it was kind of the same issue, but not as in depth as yours. We had the school, the parent student handbook, right? And it was the same issue. It was a PDF the parents would have to download, and you know, once you download it, it's on your machine. Good luck. If go through it and do this, and the problem is every year the parent student handbook was created as a Microsoft Word file, and every year they'd have to go through the handbook, make the adjustments that were changed based upon board approval or this or that. They would have to take down the PDF off the website, upload the new one, add the new year's principal message, all these different things. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I go, number one, why are we asking parents to download these things? The website should be interactive. Number two, why are we doing all this stuff? Let me show you. Let me open you up to the world of collaborative documents. And so I showed them, we're going to take this document that's in a Word. We're going to convert it to a Google Doc. And every section, I'm going to change the heading, which automatically, when you hit the add table of contents, turns it into a hyperlink. And so and then publish to the web, and then you could embed onto the web page. And I said, here's the benefit of this. We share the original document with all of the contributors, principals, learning directors, vice principals, all the people. I said, all you have to do is change this original document. It will automatically change on the website. You don't have to take a thing down. You don't have to add a thing up. It's a living document that only we can edit, but the parents can benefit off of it. And the hyperlinks, and I'll tell you, the number one thing they were looking for was dress code, right? They click on the dress code, it takes them to that section. They don't have to scroll through it looking for this dress code. So a smaller version of what you're currently doing, but it solved the problem, it fit a need, and it slowed down the feedback. I mean, I would say it hyper added to the feedback cycle, because they didn't have to worry about make the change, send it to the administrative assistant, look at it, send it back. And so, like, you know, again, the march of the papers going back and forth, it ends with that collaborative document, which as we as educators are using this daily in the classroom, we have to be reminded that a lot of administrators and administrative assistants only know of the static documents. They only know of the static on-prem Microsoft Word or PowerPoint. They don't know all these things because they're not in the trenches as teachers are. So it's great to show them these things, because it can really take down their workload and create or end that redundancy cycle that a lot of us are spending time trying to end.
Well, and even if a school or a district is not ready to dive in to full on interactive, published to the web, docs, slides, sheets, whatever it may be, even having the documents, whether it's a Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, or PDF document, instead of linked there to where once you click on it, now you're downloading it, even embedding it in the website and being allowed to scroll through the document as it's embedded in the website, so a person doesn't have to download it. That right there alone makes it just exponentially better, because a lot of times families are they're accessing things from phones a lot of times. And my phone works perfectly fine downloading stuff. But I mean, you start talking about space in the phone, like the memory in the phone starts filling up when you start downloading all these different things off of websites and whatnot. And then they may not be able to zoom in on them as well as you would if it's embedded in the website, where you can zoom in on the website in the web browser on the phone a little bit better. So even just doing something as small as that makes it a little bit better. So, and you mentioned the like discipline code and dress code and whatnot. And we haven't talked much about this part of it with the student handbook or whatnot, but I can kind of envision it going the same direction. Right now, we're just really focusing on cleaning up the part of the website that is going to tell kids what they can take as classes at our school, and then really focusing on creating these pathways, because I've had conversations with various people over the past couple of weeks regarding this. And then I even posed it on Twitter here today and had a great conversation with a lot of different people about it, is how can we take high school, and I mean, you can even apply this to middle school and elementary school, and make it more of a college type experience. And not to say that, like, oh, let's make it to where, you know, all kids are expected to go to college and that's the only path. That wasn't the way I wanted the question to be framed, but taking aspects of that, where when a kid graduates from high school and they go off to college, they may start taking some of those general studies type courses, and then 2 years later decide, this is what I want to do, this is the major I'm going to declare. But why don't we create these pathways and start that out with high school freshmen, or even earlier, to where they can get a taste of what they want to do then when they're 14, 15 years old, instead of down the road dabbling in some stuff in college and then maybe perhaps getting into something and realizing maybe this isn't what I want to do. And then that costs them more time, potentially more money. You know, and Christina Mattis, we were talking about this on the 100th episode of the Beer EDU podcast, actually, and she made a great point that it's not necessarily time waste or maybe money wasted, because it really helps form the person that you are based on those experiences. But so I can definitely see both sides of it, though, where, you know, I was fortunate that it didn't happen to me, but like somebody that, you know, they put 2.5 years into a major and like, ah, this isn't for me. So they switch things up, so it takes them longer to get done with school. We could save a lot of kids that if we can start giving them a career pathway choice in high school. And then some of those kids, they can go right into the workforce after high school if they choose a career pathway that's going to train them for that.
Yeah, a lot of high schools do that career pathway. And, you know, if students don't know what's available, they may not take that pathway. Again, on that 100th episode I was talking about, I wish when I was in high school they had, you know, at least a course on electrical engineering, electricity. I would love to have known how to run wire and do that kind of stuff. How does a fuse box work? Right? I had to learn that from YouTube instead of calling an electrician. I wanted to do it all on my own. But I would have loved those basic skills in high school. And knowing that they're available is the first step. And, you know, in college, I was one of those kids that would go down a path for a major and be like, I don't want to do this. And then go down another path for a major. I don't want to do this. I think I was like 10 credits short of a psychology degree. And then I was 6 credits short of a chemistry degree. And I ended up with a biology degree. But I didn't know which way I wanted to go. You know, I don't know very many people who have over 200, you know, undergraduate credits, because I just kept switching what I wanted to do. But that's right. If they know their pathway, they know what they need to get taken care of to keep going down that pathway. So I like what you're doing. You know, keeping with the innovation of doing things on campus that we're using these things in the classroom. How can we use it to help our community? When I say community, I mean our school sites and our districts. Take away a lot of that redundancy that we're talking about. And here was another issue that we had. So I talked, and you do this by talking to people. Go in and say, what is your pain point in your job? What causes you the most time or the most stress? I would talk to people all the time. The librarians, our administrative assistants, our nurse. I would ask, what is your pain point? And so I talked to my nurse, and my nurse said, it's so hard to keep track of doctor's notes, because they bring in these doctor's notes from their doctor and it says, this is the start date, this is the end date. You have to give the doctor's note to the PE teacher. They keep it in their binder. They're supposed to keep it in the binder until that it's done, and then give it back to the nurse when it's done. The nurse has to make a photocopy of all these different things. It's just a pain point, because you have to constantly remind the PE coaches when that is up. And then they have so many in their binder, they're not even paying attention to it. They're relying on the nurse to let them know. So why are they even holding on to the note? They're like, this is just a pain point for me. And I said, so if I can alleviate all of that, would you like me to help? She goes, yes, please. And so I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to create a Google form. And on that Google form, it's going to list all of the doctor's note, all of the doctor's note, because it just states you need all the doctor's note information. And you can keep the doctor's note in your files. They don't need that. They just need the information, the PE teachers. You're going to fill it out. That is going to once you're done, it's going to automatically send the doctor's note as a PDF using Autocrat to the PE coach. And on there, it can state, if you want to print this out and keep it in your binder, go ahead, or save it on your desktop. Either way, you're saving it. The PE teacher would also receive an email that stated when the doctor's note ended. And I trained my nurse to use this Google Gmail add-on called Boomerang. And so I'd say, as soon as that email comes to you, you're going to boomerang that message to you 1 day before the doctor's note is due. And so 1 day before the doctor's note is due, you'll get an email from yourself that says, don't forget to let this PE teacher know that this student is going to be done tomorrow. And she's like, this saves me so much time. And so I went through this, I set everything up, and I, even to this day, even though I don't work at that school anymore, I still go in at the beginning of every year and ensure everything's running properly, making sure the nurse is all set up, ready to go. And then I take care of it for them. So, but they were like, this is perfect, because now I know everything. The PE coaches know everything. Everything is documented. Everything is created as a PDF in a specific folder. They're like, this is great. To the point where all the other nurses were asking for me to do the same thing. And I was like, sorry, if you're not at my school site, I'm not going to do it for you. But that's the point, is, you know, showing people how to, you know, take away their pain points through the utilization of this, you know, technology that we use in our classrooms.
Well, and as you were talking about that, that it reminded me of another thing, that every school does it. And every school probably has a different way of doing it, but a way that can make life easier, again, Google Forms, is every school is required by law to do emergency drills, fire drills, tornado drills, if you're in the Midwest or back East. You have in California and Nevada, you have the earthquake drills. So hard lockdown, soft lockdown, shelter in place, all these different drills that you have to do throughout the year. And part of that process is that during one of those drills, there's an accountability piece. So with a fire drill, it's more of you have a roster with you and you account for all the kids. And then in the schools I've worked at, once you got outside, if you had a student missing, you held up a red sign. If you had every student, you held up a green sign. And then if you were holding up that red sign, the administrator or supervisor in that area would come in, okay, who's missing? What's going on? Do you need help? And then you would communicate from there. So it's because as long as you had the green up, everything was good to go. But when it comes to things like hard lockdowns and soft lockdowns, there's a lot of different ways that communication was done. So it could be way back, it was a phone call where, like, during the drill, if you had an issue, you had to call and say, I'm missing so-and-so at this time. But even then, even if everything was okay, you still had to notify. So, and the way that we've been doing it for a long time is you're going to email this person or you're going to email this address. And then that there's going to be a team of people there that is going to see those emails come in, checking that email and marking down, okay, who's accounted for, who's not accounted for. And then if they don't see an email from this person, calling the room or sending somebody down, okay, why didn't you do your accountability email or whatever? So you're talking in a large high school, you're talking upwards of like 150, maybe 200 emails are now going to be coming in over the course of like 2 to 3 minutes. And that is cumbersome. It is overwhelming. It is insert your favorite adjective here. So with a Google form instead, not only do you have something that's going to compile all that data quickly and more easily, but you've also got, it's a lot easier to save, where you're going to have that sheet saved in that Google Drive now for whenever you need to go back to it. Say there's an audit, like, well, did you run a drill in this? Yeah, and here's all the information. So versus having to print or save all of those emails instead. But it's also something that instead of having the teachers get on their computer, open their email, put in there to this person, and they could save the address to make it a little quicker, but, and then typing out what they had to type out, have this Google form ready to go where one of the choices is, you know, teacher name, either type or have a pull down menu, room number. What kind of drill is this? Hard lockdown, soft lockdown drill, whatever it may be. And then have all that information that you would need in that Google form. Teacher fills that out in 15, 20 seconds. Boom, it's done. Versus the trouble that it could take to do an email or some other system. So I know my school, that's the system that we use for is a Google form. I know that there's some schools out there that are using different ones. And I've heard administrators and administrative assistants complain about just how cumbersome it is, but they know that they have to do it. They just didn't really realize a different way to do it.
Well, that's the point, right? I mean, when you have administrators that are doing the same thing year after year, they don't know there's another way to do it, right? Again, it's with all this paper. Because we were the same way when we were doing these lockdown drills or fire drills, and we had to go out to the fields and get on our number and hold up the red or the green, we would use paper. We'd have to mark the kids that were here and the kids that were not here, and we'd have to hand the paper after we lifted our thing. We'd hand the paper to an administrator. They'd collect the paper. I don't know what they do with the paper afterwards. They probably put it in a folder in case they needed to be audited. Here's all of our papers. But there has to be a different way. There has to be a better way, a seamless way, a more succinct way. And the way you're doing it now with Google Forms, that's the way to do it. And I ask you this, how are administrators going around and giving feedback to teachers, right? Walking the classrooms and walking the rooms. You know, I think that's an incredibly important aspect of being administrators, being present and giving constructive feedback, positive notes, right? Now, it is all dependent upon your teachers and your union. Can administrators just pop in when they want? I mean, I know there's things about that, but Brent Cooley has a great repertoire of going through with the Google form and saying, I saw you do this, you did this, you did this. And it sends out an automatic email saying, hey, Mrs. Sally, you were doing an amazing lesson on fractions today. I'm so glad to see your students so engaged and excited. Thank you so much for letting me stop in for 5 minutes. And all he would have to do is pick on Mrs. Sally's name, which would automatically generate her email address, type in what she's teaching about, maybe type in a few tools she's using, and it creates an automatic email. And that creates this, oh, my administrator's thinking about me. My administrator sees me. That's a big difference. And I think that's key. And that's what a Google form can do for you. But let's move a little bit away from Google Forms, because there's so many different tools that can be utilized to really change up the way things happen on your campus. One of them that I've recently discovered that I've been sharing with as many administrative assistants and as many administrators that I can is the incorporation of Loom. Loom is a fantastic tool. Now, I know there's people like, oh, I like Screencastify or I like Flipgrid Shorts. You do you, bro. You do you. But here's the thing. Loom, when you install Loom, the Chrome extension, it actually automatically places a Loom button in your Gmail. And so what I've been doing to add a little bit of connection during this time of disconnection is not only will I type out an email to somebody now, but I will then click the Loom button. It'll automatically bring up a Loom recorder and I'll say the email in my own voice with my own words and my own energy. And it will automatically place that video into the email. No need to copy and paste or do this. It creates this little bit of, you know what? I'm thinking of you, not just as you're reading my email, but you're listening and seeing me in the excitement that I have that I get to do professional development with you and your school district. That's an important aspect of it. But now I want you to conversely add that to the time right now that we are with our teachers. If you're an administrator and all you're doing is sending out emails, that might not be as personable as sending the email out with a video message. And we're always talking about connecting with our students in different modalities. We should be connecting with our staff members in multiple modalities. So Loom is becoming a more and more of a very favorite screen recorder, video recorder that I've been utilizing just for that fact that it's integrated into all these great Google products.
Okay, so I was not aware of the Gmail Loom extension aspect. So I'm actually in my school district account right now adding that Chrome extension. And as soon as we're done with this call, I'm going to start toying around with it because I got to say, I've never tried Loom because I'm a screencastify guy. I am that guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Even educators who are boots on the ground, doing it in and doing it out. Again, sometimes you find your favorites, right? Sometimes I'm a screencastify guy. I'm never going to go to Loom. Well, all these loomers are just, you know, you're missing out on screencastify, but there's that one added feature in Loom that makes it that much more beneficial. And you can actually create in Loom a collaborative folder. So multiple people can record videos and add to a collaborative folder to create your very own like YouTube channel in Loom for your school district. It's great, which could be a great way to do your different courses and have different teachers record. You could have different folders that can be linked right direct. It's so many possibilities. So even though I love Screencastify, I love Flipgrid and their Flipgrid shorts, I'm becoming more in love with Loom every day for that exact reason, that it's so integrated into Gmail.
Nope. Like I said, I'm definitely going to be toying around with this now that I know a little bit more about it. That's really cool. So now I do kind of want to backtrack just a little bit. You moved away from administrators and the use of Google Forms for feedback a little bit. And I had something and I didn't want to let it slip away just yet. So it's not a Google Forms thing though, I promise. So, but it is Google Sheets. So in the short time that I was an administrator, going in and doing observations and then eventually writing the evaluations for teachers, it was a process that it's tedious and time consuming. And if you've watched an administrator, especially an administrator that's kind of been in that game for quite a while, you still may see them coming in with a clipboard and writing stuff down on a clipboard, or maybe they got their laptop, but they're writing stuff out on, say, like, you know, Microsoft Word or something of that nature. So what I had developed when I was an administrator for the 6 months that I was, and I was doing this, was I created a Google Sheet for all the teachers that I supervised and eventually would be evaluating. And what I did was I shared those sheets with them. Now, in the state of Nevada, we have what's called the Nevada Educator Performance Framework, the NEPF, and there's a set of instructional standards and there's a set of professional standards. So I would create two separate sheets for each teacher, one that's the professional standards, one that is the instructional standards. And then in that sheet, I would have all of the instructional standards laid out for them. Okay, the five standards and then the indicators that go with them on each side. And then when I was doing my observations, when I saw something that fit, say, standard one, indicator two, that's where I would type it out. I would type out, this is the evidence I'm seeing of this happening. And on that column, I would have the date for that day. So on this date, you saw where I saw indicator one and two from standard one, indicator four from standard two, so on and so forth. So as soon as I walked out of the evaluation, or excuse me, out of the classroom after watching, a teacher really, they could stop what they were doing if they wanted to, and go in to that document and see what I put down on there. So because in the past, I've had administrators come in with their clipboard and write stuff down, and when they leave, I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're writing down. Yeah. And they, you know, didn't necessarily get back to me right away. So unless sometimes you had to go track them down, like, hey, I was just kind of wondering, like, you know, if you have any feedback for me for that day. So now if you can't necessarily get back to that teacher right away because you're off doing other administrative duties, that teacher can still see what you're putting down. Well, then for me, what it did too was as I was seeing it, I was trying my best to write it out in the format that needed to go in with the verbiage that needed to go into the evaluation down the road. So that way, when I started writing the evaluation, I could go to that Google Sheet and literally copy the cell and then put it into the program to write the evaluation. So I showed that to a handful of administrators at a conference one time that this is the tool that I'm using to do this. And a lot of the, like, it was like the whole room, you could just see heads exploding. And they were just like, wow, this is great. Like, why haven't I been doing this in the past? And it's like, because you didn't know. You don't know what you don't know sometimes. So I'm not sure if there's administrators out there still kind of doing that thing, but it was something that worked for me and it worked very well. And, I'm no longer an administrator, but if I was to go back into administration, I would definitely have something very similar to that, if not the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, this is the reason that we need to really push administrators to attend teacher PD, right? Because even if you're not in the classroom, you can still glean information and ideas off of routines that can be done in a classroom setting, but then manipulate it to be done in an administrative setting. By knowing the different technologies that are happening and being utilized by your staff, you can then turn that around into something that you can utilize with your staff. And that's a benefit. I think that's very important. You know, I think we'd be very remiss to not include a couple things that teachers use in the classroom that can also be used in multiple ways around your campus, like Flipgrid. Now, I want to give a couple ideas on how to utilize Flipgrid more than just in the classroom. So we haven't talked about coaches yet, except, you know, PE coaches when we talked about the nurse thing. So I used to use Flipgrid as a parent crowd source of videos for my athletes. And so I could not be everywhere with my students that were doing track. So I taught shot put and discus, and they were always just multiple miles apart. Like, you would put the discus people all the way out so nobody would get hit by a disc. You would put the shot put people in the middle of the football field in the track. I couldn't be on both at the same time. So I had a meeting with my parents, and I said to my parents, I need your help. Here is a link for track shot put. Here's a link for track discus. I would love for you to record your child when they are throwing. And what that would do, would give me all the videos of my students throwing discus, all the videos of my students throwing shot put, and I can sit back and watch all of them to help my students going forward after the meet was done. And I didn't have to do it. I did this for wrestling as well. I would say, when your student comes up to wrestle, I want you to record it, because we would have one recorder in one angle, but a parent would be sitting in the stands at another angle, and I would be able to see the different things happening with that. So that was a great way of going about it. How would you use Flipgrid on your campus, Kyle?
Well, when Distance Ed started about a year ago, I was using Flipgrid as, instead of like a Google form or an email of sorts in order to communicate with my students and whatnot, I used Flipgrid as a way to have students check in for like attendance, where they could submit a quick video and be like, hey, so-and-so checking in, you know, this is what's going on. You know, just tell me about the day. And then I still remember I had a student that would tie me balloon animals on Flipgrid every now and then. That was always a lot of fun. And then I used the Flipgrid shorts to do, like you were mentioning with Loom, where I would post on Google Classroom every day, hey, this is what you need to have done for the day. Here's some announcements of things you need to know about. And I would post that as text, but then I would also attach the video from Flipgrid Shorts of me basically saying the same thing and trying to give it more of a personal touch where they were seeing it. Like, I couldn't physically be in the classroom, but we could still communicate by video. Even when students, if they couldn't make it to the synchronous session of Google Meet, they could still communicate by video by using Flipgrid. And then again, I use the Flipgrid shorts to kind of give those announcements out. So it's something that I haven't necessarily been doing for different reasons now, but it's definitely something that I intend to go back to at some point, just to give it more of that personal touch. And then again, now with Loom, with this extension in the Gmail, I'm going to be using that a little bit more.
No, I love it. And some of the things you were saying about Flipgrid really resonated with me, because one of the things I started doing in the classroom was the state of the classroom address. I would ask my parents, I go, what is the hardest thing about being a parent with multiple students in multiple grade levels? And they said, well, when they're in elementary, it's okay because there's one teacher. So if I have two students in elementary, they each have one teacher, I can be in contact with them, it's fine. But the moment they get into secondary education, they have six teachers now. So if you have students 1 year apart, you know, by the time one is in seventh grade and one is in eighth grade, that is 12 teachers you have to be in contact with. And she goes, going to each of those teachers' websites to see what my kids are supposed to be doing? They go, that's impossible. And I go, you're absolutely right. And I go, that's because as a teacher, I said, my website's amazing. It has everything you need to know. As a parent, all you got to do is go to my website. Don't bother me. My website is great. But I always thought about myself as a singular teacher. I never thought that they had more teachers they had to go to. So I asked, what is something that I can do to just alleviate stress in your life? Again, what's that stress that's happening? What can I do to make it better? And they said, you know what? All I want, like at the end of every week, just a synopsis. What did my student do? What do they need to do? What's turned in next week? What's going on? Like a minute or less. So I started doing the state of the classroom address for my parents. And I did this in Flipgrid. My parents got the grid called flipgrid.com/state of the classroom. And they would get it. And every Friday, I would record a new video and pin it. So it's the number one video to be seen. And they would see me explaining everything that their students completed this week and what they're going to do next week and what needs to be turned in. And parents were like, thank you. Thank you. That's all we wanted. Something like that. And then, of course, in Flipgrid, I can add little links to different things that parents would want. But just knowing that stuff, parents were like, thank you. Because going through emails and going to websites, it just doesn't work anymore when you have that many kids with that many teachers. And so we have to sometimes step back as a teacher and be like, sometimes parents have 18 teachers they have to deal with. And you want to be able to give them the most succinct information each week. So using Flipgrid for that is something that I really strive to do the last 2 years. And in fact, if you go to the Disco Library, or the Flipgrid Community Library, and you type in state of the classroom, there's a whole write-up on how to use it. There's a grid that will automatically be created for you on how to use it. So go do that, because it will save your parents a lot of stress and give them a lot of love for you, because it saves them a lot of time. So that was the last thing that I had, Kyle.
Yeah, and I mean, I could go on some different things at this point, but this point, we're kind of approaching our time that we like to keep our episodes to. So I feel that if we get into any more, that we may be going way over our time here. So perhaps maybe down the road, we do a follow-up episode to this one here. So, but no, a lot of great ideas. And, you know, I tell you, like, whenever we do these episodes, you know, selfishly, I always learn something too. It's not just you and I, you know, putting knowledge out there and hoping our listeners get something from it. But I tell you, like I said now several times, that Loom extension, I can't wait to jump on that thing and check that out, especially because it's embedded directly in Gmail. Because I tell you, I mean, with a lot of tools that are out there, there's the extra steps. You can record the video, they're great, but then there's the extra step of either having to download it or pull a link or something to get it into an email or something of that nature. This basically eliminates all that, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, saving time is what we're all about. Saving time and then closing the feedback loop is very important. And you know, before we go, I want to say, when you were talking about when a teacher is being evaluated and they have to wait a week or so or something, when they get like the PDF that's printed out and then photocopied and then sent to your email, all those things, that's like pins and needles for a teacher. Just as we want to create a hyper feedback loop for students, so they instantly know what needs to be adjusted, they instantly know what is right and what needs to be changed, we need to do that for our staff. And when administrators can see how to do that through a routine with tools already being utilized, it changes the game on your campus, because it then puts technology in a different focus and more people jump on board. And, you know, I'm still talking like Joe from 2019, where we just want more people to use technology. Just try it. Right. Like I used to have a green eggs and ham analogy where I'm just try the green eggs and ham, teacher. Just try it. You may like it. Just use it. Just try it. And they're like, no. Green eggs and ham is not for me. I don't like that new stuff. I like traditional stuff. But now everybody's been stuffed on green eggs and ham for the last year and a half. I just hope people are finding ways to remix it, not only in the classroom, but around their campus with their staff and with their administrators.
It's about adding more ingredients at this point. Instead of just green eggs and ham, maybe it's green eggs and chorizo. Maybe it's a Western green eggs and ham where you got green pepper and onions. So the green eggs and ham being, here's your introduction to technology over last year, but now start adding some more stuff, start challenging yourself a little bit more. So, and speaking of challenges and speaking of Flipgrid that we've talked about, so it's been a little bit since we've had a submission on our Sons of Technology Flipgrid, where we will feature those at the beginning of episodes. And it's been a while since we've had a new one there. So if you're listening here, first of all, thank you for listening. But we would love for you to take our Flipgrid challenge. And what that is you basically go to our show notes and click on the Flipgrid link that we have there and basically go on and record a video real quick of you introducing yourself and declaring that you're a member of the EdTech Army. And like I said, we'll feature that at the beginning of the episode, and you'll be the introduction to one of our upcoming episodes if you do that. So again, if you go to the show notes, we have the link there for that. So we would love to have you go on and submit that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because I have been failing on promoting that, and we would not be here without our listeners. And we want to make sure our listeners' voices are elevated to the point where they can proclaim that they are part of the EdTech Army. And again, the EdTech Army is all about the mantra of Sons of Technology, and that's speak encouraging words to one another. Keep lifting each other up. Don't leave anybody out. Leave nobody behind. Keep moving people forward. I already know you're doing that, so just keep on doing it. And if you're doing that on your campus, if you're doing that at your school, if you're doing that in your district, you are a member of the EdTech Army, and we would love you to proclaim that. And as Kyle has said, we do this because we love education. We do this because we learn from each other each and every time we record. And we do this because we hope maybe there's one nugget that you take out of our podcast that you can use in your classroom that'll change the lives of your students. And if that can happen, then our job is done, right? We started this podcast with, if one person listens, we're good to go. But we have many listeners now, and we thank you so much for it. And we would love to share that voice. So before we go, Kyle, is there anything you want to close out with before we do our closing remarks?
Yeah, one last thing in regards to just kind of promoting some things too is our YouTube channel at sonsoftechnology.com, where we stream these recordings live on YouTube. And then we also have a Facebook page, Sons of Technology, where we stream as well. And if you would like to see these as we record them, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, so you get notified of when we're going to do that. And then you can join in on the conversation per se by adding your comments on YouTube or Facebook. And then we may even feature your comment in the recording by verbally acknowledging it or posting it in our StreamYard link here and showing it on the screen as we're recording. So I encourage you to look at that as well. But it's not just about the recordings that we do live, but are you YouTube channel is full of amazing videos on different hacks and ways to do different things using technology. So I encourage you to subscribe to our channel and then like our Facebook page so you can be connected with us even further.
Yes. And we always love requests for those hacks. There's only so much we can come up with on our own. But if you say, I would like to do this kind of lesson, how would you do it? We love those challenges. Or you know, if you, I'm using Go Formative and I want to do this, how would you go about doing it? We love those challenges as well. So, you know, in our Twitter group at Sons of Tech EDU, on our YouTube channel, sonsoftechnology.com, just let us know, what do you want to see? And we will make the video and record. And everything we've talked about, all the different ways to utilize Google Forms, all the different ways to utilize Flipgrid, all of these are on our YouTube channel. It shows you how to start from scratch and build all of these so that you, and it has templates there as well, so that you can do these without having to start from the very bottom. And we appreciate you very much. And you know what? It's been 400 days, actually 405 days since March 13th, 2020, right? That Friday the 13th, where all the schools closed. It's been 405 days since that day. And your growth is unimaginable. If you are an 18, 20 year, 25 year, 30 year veteran of education, your growth in these past 405 days is astronomical. And whether you recognize it or not, your students recognize it, your parents recognize it, and your administrators recognize it. And right now, everybody may be just so tired that they don't see it yet, but they will, and you will. We just have to make sure that you understand that you have been making great strides, great advances, and great motivational practices that have kept our students engaged and learning through this entire pandemic. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. You will be known as the heroes of this trying time, whether you've been told that yet or not. Thank you. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for pushing forward. And thank you for choosing to be a teacher, an educator, an inspiring person to our most important people. And that is our students. So thank you again for learning, for growing, and for ditching that fear and just doing it. Because that's what we've always done as teachers. We've always just done it because we know our kids need it. So thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you do. Have a great day, week, month, or even a year. And we look forward to talking with you again in another episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. Have a great day.